It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Joined today by Kurt Kovarik. Kurt is with the Clean Fuels Alliance America. You just kind of made the business card name a little longer, right?
That's right. We rebranded from the National Biodiesel Board almost a year ago, last January, recognizing the innovation that's taken place in our industry, the different fuels that we're producing. Clean Fuels Alliance America fits more of what we're doing more appropriately today than National Biodiesel Board did.
So I'm glad you did that. So let's just expand that a little bit further. For those who might have known the National Biodiesel Board, okay, we know it's biodiesel, but what about Clean Fuels Alliance? What's under the umbrella?
Sure. So our membership includes producers of biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel. And when our industry was created by the soybean complex 30 years ago, soybean oil was our primary and only feedstock to produce the fuel. Today it's about 50%. The other 50% is animal fats, distillers corn oil, and used cooking oil. So we've not only diversified in the fuel that our members are producing, but we've also diversified in the feedstock that we can produce it from. So ever changing and evolving and innovating to make some of the lowest carbon homegrown renewable fuels.
You mentioned the aviation fuel side. What a huge opportunity. We're hearing buzz from Ag Secretary Vilsack, from the Energy Secretary Granholm. There's a lot of interest inside the administration.
There's a lot of opportunity, and to their credit, they're looking at areas. You know, they're very focused on electrification and electric vehicles, but they recognize that there are certain types of transportation that you just can't electrify. So they're looking to airlines, ocean-going vessels, railroads to some extent, which is great for us as a distillate replacement. That's where our fuel goes, and we've been talking about that for, you know, a decade or more. That it's going to be a long time, if ever, to electrify some of the heavy-duty truck transportation, locomotion, ocean-going airlines. That's where our fuel goes. That's where it belongs.
You mentioned a decade or so. It's been well over a decade that we've been talking about the RFS, the Renewable Fuel Standard. We get volume obligations usually on an annual basis. What are we looking at now as we prepare for 23 and beyond?
Yeah, well, EPA just released in December of last year a three-year renewable volume obligation proposal setting volumes for 2023, 24, and 25. We looked at this as a great opportunity to do as Congress intended with the law, and that is to send the market signal for growth, to require the fuel to be used so that we have the signal to continue to build out the industry. Unfortunately, that was a missed opportunity. They essentially flatlined our volumes for all 3 years. And to give you an idea of how out of touch this proposal is, our industry today is north of 3 billion gallons a year. This proposal in 2025 is below 3 billion. So all 3 years are below what our capacity and our market was last year. So you have to kind of scratch your head and say, what's the point of a program that's meant to send positive market signals to innovate in the feedstock production and the production of the fuel if the proposal is below our current market? It's disconnected from reality. And so we're working over the course of the next 3 months to put pressure on the EPA, the administration, and USDA through our champions in Congress to have a positive impact and get these numbers up.
What do producers need to know about this, and is there any work that needs to be happening back at the farm?
We're engaging right now, particularly in the House of Representatives. Representative Hinson from Iowa is circulating a letter among her colleagues to make this point to the administration, how badly they missed the mark. We anticipate there'll be additional efforts like that in the Senate, perhaps even among governors. And what I would say is, as a soybean farmer, today we're adding about just over a dollar per bushel to the value of a soybean because of what we add in value to the oil. And we've seen almost 20 announcements to expand soybean crush in 10 states. An economic infusion of about $5 billion. All of that is partly due to the innovation and the desire for low-carbon fuels and the success of the renewable fuels program. So all of this could be undermined and undercut if we don't get these volumes up. That investment is not assured to happen, and it's all being put at risk because the EPA failed to recognize what's happening in the industry, both in terms of soy crush expansion and renewable fuel production.
I know it's a completely different category here, but it is somewhat related. Could we learn something from sending market signals with what happened with the price of diesel and gasoline early on in the administration?
That's absolutely right. And another reason we're so perplexed by this is if you look at what this administration desires in terms of energy production, they want U.S.-produced energy that's lower carbon, that's creating jobs and adding value here in the United States. What's a better solution to that than domestically produced, farmer-grown, low-carbon, 75% better than petroleum that's here today and can power vehicles that can't be electrified? So that's the conversation that we're having with the leaders in Washington. I think our message is being received. We just hope that we're successful so that we can get this number up and provide this certainty and growth for the industry that they deserve.
Final one here for you. What happens if there is no change? Will we see investments start moving out? What could happen on the other side?
Well, we saw when the proposal came out in December, immediately soybean oil prices went down. The RIN value went down. It had an immediate impact on all of the signals that people read to know, should I make the investment or not make the investment? You know, I can't speak to any of the soybean crush announcements that have been made, but I have to imagine that people are kind of running the numbers again, saying to themselves, okay, if these are the volumes that are finalized, does this project still pencil out? Are we going to invest this $500 million in a soybean crush expansion? And I think that's what farmers need to understand of what's at stake here. You may say, well, I don't use biodiesel or I can't get it. The fact of the matter is, there's a huge demand for the product. Farmers are a key component of providing us with that feedstock, and they benefit from it as a result through higher value for their commodity. So I'm hopeful that, you know, we can activate the farmer interest in this. I think they're well aware. The leadership surely is, and have a positive outcome with this final rule in June.
All right. We want to learn more about the Clean Fuels Alliance America. Where do we go?
Cleanfuels.org.
Great to see you, Kurt. Wish you the best. Catch up with you again soon.
Always glad to be with you, Tony.
Kurt Kovarik is with the Clean Fuels Alliance America. From Commodity Classic in Orlando, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.